This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show from Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist. Here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Oh, is it Wednesday already, Mike?
It is. I looked at my calendar just to make sure I came here on the right day, yeah.
My gosh, that was a quick week.
I know. They're all very quick.
They're all quick once you hit a certain age.
Yeah, you go, whoo, what, another week?
Yeah, mama.
Well, thank you. If you're out there listening, thank you for listening. And this is a show for information about your lawns, your gardens, and things like that, how to grow stuff, how to kill stuff, when to water, when not to water, fertilization, blah, 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 on and on and on.
Sounds like Putin's agenda.
Yeah, Putin's agenda. But any questions you might have, you feel free to call the show and ask, even if I'm speaking about something totally obscure at the point. And the number is 673-4464. So you, if you have a question, you can call. And 673-4464. And like I say, this is a show about information, about what can I do, what are some of the things that will improve my garden or my landscape, that kind of thing. So it's just suggestions. There's probably 2 million suggestions a person could give, and I only know a million of them, so that's why this show is only an hour each week.
There you go. We got to share and share alike.
That's right. And what's that thing called, the podcast?
Yes, sir.
Well, you can get this later on at 541radio.com.
Very good.
How's that? I had to write that down and remember it.
Oh, did you? No, you did good.
Anyway, the subject matter.
Did you give out the number, too?
Yeah, I think it is, 673-4464.
You weren't paying attention, Dad. No.
I know. You were out there to lunch somewhere. But the subject matter today is deer-proofing your garden and landscaping.
Very difficult.
I think it's almost impossible, but I've got some ideas and some information that will help you at least maybe cut down on the damage, and in some cases, even totally save your landscaping or save your garden if you're growing vegetables out there in deer country, which all of Douglas County is deer country, for crying out loud.
They walk
downtown and they walk out on Harvard.
They go anywhere
they want. They're not afraid anymore. You know, that's they're privileged little characters.
You know, you would think once so many of them got run over by vehicles, someone would tell them, don't go out in the road, dummy.
Yeah, the things with the bright lights coming at you, stay out of their way.
No.
I know, it's amazing.
They don't communicate.
They think they're quicker.
Yeah.
You know, I've hit a couple and over the years, and I hate it.
I know it.
You're going around a corner, all of a sudden one just pops right out in front of you, just instantly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And there it is, and there your car.
And you can't stop because you're doing 30 or 40 miles an hour on the country roads, and
your life's all messed up for many months trying to get another vehicle.
I've had some repairs done, yes. But anyway,
we have a phone call.
I haven't even said anything.
No, well, maybe it's the deer talk. Good afternoon. You're on the air with Mike Winters.
Hello.
Hey, Mike, before we get into deer, I don't have deer issues, but I wanted to know when I really want to trim up my box, what are they called, box bushes or
boxwood?
Something. Boxwood, yeah, and they're all different heights, so I want to trim them up really good, but I don't want them to look ugly.
How tall are they?
Right now, they're about 3.5 feet.
Mm-hmm. And you want them shorter, or how do you want them?
I want them shorter, and then I just want to square them up and groom them better.
Okay.
Get them all one size.
Okay.
They're pretty woody, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, you can prune them at any time you want, but make sure you study them first and look and see exactly how... What height that you want them, and are you going to do this with a machine or with hand shears?
Well, whatever you recommend. I mean, I'm older, so I'd like to do it with a you know, a machine, but.
Well, the machines are easy to run, and
yeah.
And if you've never done it, you need to practice on some things first before you hit your boxwood hedge, okay? Just to get the feel of it and see what it does. But you know, you could you can run a string line and say, okay, this is the height I want it, and just go ahead and start at one end and go slowly and just cut them along the string line, and then on the sides, just start at the bottom and work your way up. And just take a look.
If I do that now, will they fill in a little bit?
Is this
a good time to do that?
Oh yeah, yeah. Because they haven't started actively growing yet for spring. So if you do it now, by the time May and June rolls around, they'll have filled in really nicely.
Excellent. All right, that's what I needed.
Okay. Well, thank you for the call.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Okay. You're welcome. Bye bye.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
Alrighty. There we go. That's cool.
That's good. Question right out of the box and didn't even have to say anything much.
Wood box. Yep.
Anyway, I'm talking about deer. deer-proofing your garden. Yeah, right. Everybody says, I don't know. Well, there's some things you can do. I don't know if all these things work 100% other than a big, tall fence with a big gate and made out of a wire that they can't get through, you know,
and a lot of electricity.
Yeah, could be. Well, you know, that's the most effective way is a tall fence.
Yeah,
that's how it works. But I'll try to educate you on ways to help keep the critters from eating your yard or your vegetable garden. And there are some other ways, natural ways. Some not so natural. whatever you do, don't shoot them and don't poison them or anything like that. That's against the law.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, think about this. Deer have been around forever.
Oh,
and
yes.
instead of decreasing numbers, the opposite seems to be the trend. In other words, they're increasing. Even though in the distance past, and way back when, more people depended on deer than we do now. Mm-hmm. And like Native Americans and early settlers depended on deer for food, for clothing, and tools. Out of the bones and stuff, they made tools. Out of the skin, they made clothing. And, of course, there's the food. It was there's so many of them around, all they had to do was close their eyes, shoot one or jump on one and stab it, and they had food for a while. You know, venison was like an essential food until the farming group came into being. You know, the early settlers that came out west and said, hey, let's homestead this 100 acres or 200 acres or whatever, and they started growing crops. Mm-hmm. And in growing crops, one of their crops was cattle, another was sheep, another was maybe turkeys and chickens and things like that. So the pressure on the deer population lessened a bit, at least with the early settlers.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't stop, but at any rate, the population of deer increased after a while. And it is increasing today because you see them all over. It's amazing. They cross in front of my nursery a lot. They hang around my nursery and eyeball my plants. They don't damage too much, but they do take a nip here and there. They like better people's yards. You know, public places are not their forte, so they like somebody's backyard or front yard, and they can trim up your azaleas or your petunias or whatever you might have blooming out there.
Whatever is available.
Yeah, whatever is there. But remember, they're a very active, quick creature. You know, and like I said, back in the day, that when the people were making clothes, they made, you know, buckskin pants and shirts, and the pelts were important for clothes.
Moccasins too.
Yeah, moccasins.
Yeah.
And they were also trading items. You know, if there was a trading post somewhere, they could bring a pelt in or a pair of moccasins or whatever, and trade them for store bought stuff. And the bones, the antlers, also were, like I said, used for tools and sewing. They made needles out of parts of the bones and things like that. And, of course, the early settlers, they survived on deer and other animals for food. And it was just here in abundance, so you didn't have to worry about it. There was plenty of food out there. And no part of the animal was wasted. I mean, nothing. And at the documents that I was researching said, back in the day, there were like 53 million deer in the USA.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, how they got that number, I have no clue. But this was a scientific journal.
Of course it was.
And I thought, okay, if that's what they say, who am I to refute their expertise?
That's what Google says, too.
Yeah, Google said that, sure. I looked it right up on Google, right. But, like I say, as time went on, the deer population became a more scarce resource. And as a result, laws were enacted to save the deer population. Hence, we have deer seasons and a particular time of the year, or that kind of thing, to maintain the herds that are out there running freely and wildly. You know, the same way with elk or moose. And they didn't have to worry about me on elk, because I hunted the Tioga unit for elk 7 years in a row and never took a shot because I couldn't get close enough see anything that was shootable.
The mighty white hunter.
Yeah. And I was, one time I was like, within 30 feet of six of them, but I couldn't see their horns because it was 3-point and better. And their ears were in the reprod, the young Douglas fir, so you couldn't see any horns. And they all looked at me, and I stepped over a log, and they all took off. And I chased them in the snow for the rest of the day and never saw them again.
Never saw them again.
So they're safe for me. They don't even need a law to protect them, boy. But, hunting became regulated early on. As our human population grew, and now the numbers of deer have grown to a very sustainable balance, and so hence the hunting seasons, and that's good. And of course, agriculture is huge in the USA now, and has taken the pressure off hunting for survival and clothes and tools mm-hmm. and things like that. So,
you think there's less hunting today than there was?
Oh yeah, because it was a survival thing back in the day. You know, it was if you don't get a deer, you don't eat. It's real simple.
Yeah,
you didn't go to Freddy's and buy a steak. There were no Freddy's.
No. I was just thinking in the 70s, it seems like everybody went hunting.
Now
I don't know.
Well, there's a lot of hunters. I mean, yeah. I don't hunt deer anymore.
Yeah.
I used to hunt elk a lot, but for some reason I felt sorry for the deer unless they got into my yard. Then I'd shoo them off, but I thought, I don't want to kill you. Yeah, just get out of here, leave me alone, and we'll be cool.
I took a camera up there and tried to take pictures, but Dad frowned on that.
Why?
He called me names.
Oh, okay, we won't go into that. So anyway, the deer that are left, the survivors, now they come into our yards and our gardens, and we have to build fences to keep these critters out. And geez Louise, I had all these beautiful petunias, and now I come out the next morning and they're all stubs. There's no flowers left. Where do they go?
That's maddening.
Yeah. Yeah, and because we invite them into our yards with all sorts of colorful and delicious foods.
And they can smell it, I suppose.
Oh, yeah, they have a great sense of smell. Yes, indeed. They know when you went to Wintergreen Nursery and bought flowers.
Yeah, and they're all fresh and ready to go.
Oh, yeah, look at them. They're good. This must be from Wintergreen.
Should we take a break on that
note?
Okay,
we'll take a break.
All right. We'll be right back with more of Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240, KQEN.
And more local talk.
Yeah, then we're going to do local talk, all right. Can you hear me on there?
I can.
Okay. Yeah, well, it seemed like the sound went down or something like that. Well, anyway, I'm talking about, I'm getting around to the point about deer-proofing your garden, but I was just giving you a little history about the deer populations and what we did in the olden days and all that kind of stuff. And And like I said in the last segment, we invite them into our yards now with all sorts of colorful and delicious foods. You know, geraniums, petunias, marigolds, you know, that kind of stuff.
In our gardens.
In our gardens, and all the vegetables, they love them. But it is estimated with the annual loss of crops, gardens, and landscaping materials, the cost to the homeowners in the United States actually runs into the hundreds of millions of dollars. And, you know, they seem to like vegetables, fruit trees, grapes, berries, nursery stock, and anything you plant in your yard, for goodness sakes. And they'll even browse on those so-called deer-proof plants. And there are a few. I read through some of the lists here this last week just to see what they were. And some of them I don't quite agree with them because I've seen deer, you know, jump right on top of those dudes. But here's a partial list, just a little tiny bit of the list of what deer like to eat. This is what they like to eat. They like arborvitas, those green, tall evergreens that people like to plant along the edge of their property for a privacy hedge, arborvitas. They like azaleas. They like fruit trees. They like the fruit off fruit trees and the leaves and everything else. And it said they like ivy, but I've never seen ivy that was deer damaged or ravaged. Maybe our deer here in Oregon don't like ivy, but according to the...
They're a little finicky.
Yeah, they're finicky. According to the book, though, they like to eat ivy. And, of course, there's some fruit fir trees that they like to eat the ends of the new growth. You know, when the top of a seedling is coming up, they'll bite the top off because it's good and tender, and then you get two tops. And a tree that's kind of messed up, and they like lilacs. Oh, they'll chew lilacs right up, and maples, Japanese maples, any kind of a maple, and they'll horn rub the things too. If they can't bite it, they'll horn rub it. And, you know, we always say in our area, well, the rhododendrons are deer-proof. Well, not according to the research that I was doing. They said, oh, yeah, rhododendrons were right on the list with the azaleas and things. And vine maple, I know that. But the bottom line is they'll eat just about any shrub or flower. And if they won't eat it all, they'll at least break off pieces and kind of make the plant ugly or, you know, just one-sided or something like that. And on this one list, there were more than 40 plants on the preferred to eat list.
Wow. They're all in Oregon.
Yeah, I think so. No, I don't think. Well, there might be some in Northern California. But and it said, there was a footnote there. It says, deer are smart. They won't eat plants that make them sick. That's, well, good. All we got to do is find out
what plants make them sick
and landscape our yards with them.
Plant a whole bunch of those suckers.
Yeah. So here's a short list, supposedly, of deer-resistant plants.
Okay.
Of course, unless they're starving, that's a whole different story. But ice plant, that's a ground cover, an evergreen ground cover. And you know what? I think that's pretty much a good one because I've seen them not. I've got ice plant at my place. I've put ice plant in other rural landscape jobs, and they seem to leave it alone. Verbena, which I was surprised. Calla lily, black-eyed Susans, bleeding heart. Cactus, I can understand cactus. Catnip, foxglove, daffodils. They don't eat daffodils, I'll tell you that. When you drive around right now, you see all the daffodils in bloom, and there's not one that's not in bloom. They're all in bloom, and the deer don't look.
They don't like it.
They don't touch them. The horses don't touch them. The cows don't touch them.
Jeez.
I've seen horses and cows in a daffodil, in a pasture filled with daffodils. Daffodils are beautiful, and the grass is an inch long. Yeah, so... there must be something about the daffodil.
Whaley or something. Who knows?
I don't know. But and hellebores is another. It's another plant that's in bloom now. Kind of looks like a prehistoric plant, and it flowers, and it'll flower most of the spring and into the hot part of the summer, and then kind of quit. But that and again, that's just a partial list. I could sit here for another 15, 20 minutes naming all these plants, and most of which don't even grow around here.
What's that one you said the kind of made them sick?
Yeah, if they eat a plant that makes them physically ill, or some of them even die from eating a particular plant. But if it makes them sick, they won't touch it. They'll ignore it.
Yeah. Okay.
And I thought, well, that's a pretty smart deer.
Only takes one time.
No, yeah, that's exactly right. But there are, you know, several hundred other plants on that list. And so there's some hope. some hope up there. All we got to do is get the right ones to put in our yard and plant them around not scare them away, but they won't like it. They won't like the aroma or the odor of the particular plant, and they'll leave it alone because their sense of smell is very keen, as is their eyesight. So.
Boy, I wish I had their eyesight.
Me too. And now there is a short list of repellents that work sometimes.
Here we go. We're talking.
And I've tried most of these, and they work to a certain extent, and not 100% all the time in all conditions, and I'm not sure why. Anything I researched didn't have an answer either, but soaps, like bars of soap that are scented, like Irish Spring, you know, those kinds of scented soaps.
You can
cut them up in small pieces and put them in a nylon stocking and hang them from a fruit tree or from a fence where you have garden stuff, and they don't like that. They don't like that smell, so they don't go near it. Hmm. They stay away from it. Hmm. Another is you can cut up a very fragrant scented bar of soap or several bars of soap, and scatter them in your garden. Just throw them on the ground, scatter them around, so they come up. They smell it. Mm-hmm. No way, Jose. We're not going to eat this stuff.
That burns my nose.
That burns my nose. I got one stuck up my nose one year, and it didn't.
It just started bubbling.
Yeah. But the book that I was reading said Irish Spring was really a good one because of its strong aroma, strong odor. Yeah. The more scented, the better. But here's human hair is in a stocking hanging on a tree. Or a shrub will work for a while as well. They don't like the aroma of the hair and, of course, the human scent that goes along with it. But, you know, you get into, like, rainy days like this, and it has a tendency to wash the smell and the scent out of it. So it's kind of like a springtime thing. I've heard that other people have told me this, and I thought, okay, I never tried it. But, you know, now that when I was doing the research, they named human hair. They said because... You know, it's something that they smell humans on, so they stay away from it.
They don't like us humans.
Yeah. So, garlic and rotten eggs mixed with some mothballs. How's that for a combination? Can you imagine mixing that up and hanging it in your garden?
It'd keep me away.
You wouldn't want to work in that garden.
Oh, Lord.
So you can't blame the deer for not going in there. But
do have some sense.
Yeah, they do. Good sense. And you can have some fun experimenting with any of these combos, by the way.
I mean, bad.
Oh, gosh. But I found that the best deer repellent is a dog. Maybe a pit bull or a German Shepherd or something like Doberman, you know. Build your doghouse in the garden, and your plants will be safe.
There you go.
How's that? You know, just no fence needed. Nope. Just a long chain on the dog so he doesn't run the deer for 2 miles. And then when he come along, he's there. And they're gone. They do not like dogs. Yeah. So, but if you don't have a dog, you can try some pepper spray. Pepper spray seems to work. None of these are 100%, but they if you renew them and refresh them on a weekly basis or biweekly basis, it seems to really help. They don't like it. It tastes bad, and the active ingredients is capsaicin. And that burns. If they take a bite off something that you've treated, it burns and they don't like it. Bingo, they stay away from it. You know, it's so potent that sprays can stop attacking dogs. If you have it in a spray form, and there's an attacking dog, you can spray that dog and that dog will drop to the ground.
Oh, my gosh.
And it says it can even stop grizzly bears.
Is that right?
Yeah, so would be a good spray to buy. I think you'd probably buy it at Umpqua Survival or maybe Big Five or something like that, or the Sportsman's Warehouse.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure they would have some of these things available.
Pepper spray.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'd probably work for a guy, too, you know, attacking somebody.
Oh, yeah.
Drop him right on his knees, so to speak.
If you can stop a grizzly bear, you can stop a guy, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
And all I can say is, thankfully, there's no grizzly bears in Douglas County, you know.
Yes.
We don't have any breaks here, do we?
A couple of minutes. Good. Do you want to take one now? Or?
No, I'm on a roll.
All right.
And I'm not pronouncing this correctly, but it's capsaicin. I'm not sure, but Capistin. That's what the hot pepper stuff is. And it doesn't harm the deer, but they won't be back for a second bite. You know? Just spray it around the garden area, like in between the plants and some over the foliage. Don't do it on a hot, sunny day. Do it in the cool of the morning or the evening, and so the sun's not drying it out on the leaves or something like that. And when harvest time comes around, just wash those veggies really well before you take a bite.
Otherwise,
your mouth gonna be smoking.
Oh, mama.
Yeah. Now, there's a commercial product called Hot Sauce Animal Repellent.
Sounds like a spaghetti sauce.
That's the name of it. And it can be used on shrubs and trees and vegetables. And you apply it prior to any fruit or vegetables that develop. So prior, you know, when it's in, say, just getting on new leaves or the vegetable plants are just starting to bud up, that's when you would spray that on.
Okay.
You don't want to get it on the edible part, and just on the leaves. And that seems to
do the trick
on them. And on the ground, you know, you spray on the ground in between plants. Spray if you got a raised bed and it's made out of wood or blocks or something, spray the heck out of the wood or the blocks, you know, just soak the place with these sprays.
Let it absorb or
because,
whatever.
You know, it smells bad and it's just, they just don't like it.
Yeah.
You know, and you, like I say, do it several times during the growing season, and the deer are just not going to show up. After a while, they're going to give up. I mean, they're going to say, hey, we don't want to go to that guy's house. This place stinks.
Let's try his neighbor.
Yeah, let's try his neighbor. His neighbor's more organic.
Oh, gee whiz.
But soap spray is a lot cheaper. Soap spray, what is that? But the book says it's very effective. It smells bad, it tastes bad, and deer, you know, they just won't do it. But soap spray, like soapy dish water.
Oh, okay,
you know,
okay.
I mean, you can buy some, I guess, but you can make it at home. It's real easy.
Well, yeah.
Or soapy bath water. You water the ground with it, and you can put it on plants, but you don't want to put it on heavy, and it's better to put them in between the plants. That's my own version
theory
of
yeah.
how to use it, because I don't want to bite into a tomato that tastes like a bar of soap.
Oh, Lord, heavens.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So you get it along the border of your landscape or on the border of your garden or if you got a lot of bark mulch around, you know, spray it on your bark mulch, all through your bark mulch, something like that.
Mm, okay.
And that it just smells and tastes bad to deer. And as soon as they smell it, they won't taste it. They'll split.
They'll
go away.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
All right, well, now we do have to go bye-bye for a minute.
Okay, we'll get that. I got three more pages of this stuff.
All right. And it doesn't have anything to do with shooting them.
No, don't have to shoot them or poison them.
All right, more of Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show on the way. News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All righty, we're back with more Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 93.9 FM.
And I'm trying to tell you how to keep your garden deer-proof.
Deer-proof.
And there's so much stuff I read, I can't even figure it all out. But, you know, and after that, after you've tried spraying, let's say you've sprayed this and you sprayed hot peppers and all that kind of stuff, and it's kind of working, but maybe not to your satisfaction.
Yeah.
There are visual detriments. Visual, you know.
My ex-wife?
Well, I wouldn't say that. But deer don't like strange movements, for instance.
Oh.
So a device that moves, that's attached to like a motion light or a sprinkler that turns on when motion is detected, that's a good repellent.
Okay.
You know, and I've run into that in people's yards. There's a sprinkler head. I'm not paying attention. I walk in front of it. All of a sudden, the sprinkler comes on and nails me. And I, oh, I forgot to turn that off, Mike.
Yeah, boy, that'd scare the holy, you know, what?
Well, yeah, after a week, whoa, what happened? But deer don't like it either. That's what's cool about it. So, you know, one of these, you get some motion there, and this big bright spotlight comes on them, and the water hits them. They're history. They are not hanging around to check out your water system at all.
They don't care what it was.
You know, it's a good repellent. And anything that moves is going to startle a deer. Maybe somebody will invent, here's my favorite one that I just made up. Maybe somebody's going to invent a garden robot that runs on batteries. And when it detects motion, the robot waves, walks, and yells at the intruder. And I think that'd be a hot item for gardeners.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and there's some inventor out there. Hey, make one that can go over rough ground. And if there's there's movement or anything, it comes alive and starts yelling and waving its arms. That'll scare a human, for crying out loud.
Yeah, that sounds like some ex-presidents we've had.
This is not a political show.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. In Texas, there's a gardener who built a scarecrow.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he built a scarecrow, I guess, and attached movable eyes to the scarecrow. And then he drenches the scarecrow with scented soap.
Oh, that'll do it.
So the deer come in and the eyeballs on the scarecrow start moving back and forth, and the deer picks up on that motion.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you go, whoa, and then you get the soap smell. Hey, that deer's history.
They're out of here.
He's gone, you know. And then, of course, the floodlight motion detector with like multicolor strobe lights that screams, that would get rid of them. You know, might wake you up at 3 a.m, but it would get rid of the deer. And then the old-fashioned tin cans on a string hung on a poster or a fence, you know, with no label on them, so they're just the tin can itself.
Oh yeah,
and there's a group of them. You know, they've got a little flash to them. They don't, the deer don't like the flash, and it's making a strange noise. You know, that's the old fashioned type, and it probably
works
to a certain extent, or a line of them where the deer would have to go under and maybe touch them, and they go clink, 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 clink.
The
deer's history. He's not going to hang around there. And last but not least, you can try some monofilament fishing line. And it works. I've done it. Yeah. Like if a deer touches it, they back away quickly because they can't see it.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And so you string the line. You know, you got some, here's a fruit tree, say, and there's three stakes, triangulated tree stakes. And then you take this monofilament fishing line and you put it around the bottom and wrap your way all the way up around these stakes. So the fishing line is, say, 8 to 10 inches of, you know, between rows.
Uh-huh.
And if the deer comes up and any part of that deer touches that line, it'll spook them and he'll run.
Mm.
He'll get out of Dodge because they can't see it.
See it. They don't know what it is.
Yeah. And that's a pretty cheap way of going.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
there's
a little bit of labor involved, but that's okay. Oh. It's
solves your problem.
Yeah, it does. It does. And they just, like I say, their foot hits it or their nose hits it or something like that, they're gone. You know, I've put this black netting on stuff that I've done, and they've torn the black netting off.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, they can see it. They don't like it. It's in their way. So they just rip it off and then eat the tree.
Just tear it off.
Yeah. You know, of course, I live in the middle of 100 and, you know, lots of acreages out there.
Yeah, a lot of deer out there. A
lot of deer and everything else. But, you know, but that monofilament line is good. So, and all these methods are legal. You're not breaking any laws, so you're good to go.
Yet.
So, let me review the list of deer repellents here.
Let's do it.
Oh, yeah. Soap, of course.
Uh-huh.
Ground up or cut up.
Dawn soap work? Probably
I
not.
Think so.
Think
any
so?
Soap will.
Any soap.
Yeah. But it said the stronger the scent, the better it works.
Okay.
So, and the soap, when you cut it up like that, you could put it like in a nylon sock type thing and hang it around your fence, or you can just scatter it on the ground. And the smell, the odor, it'll last several weeks, and it's cheap, and it's easy to use. You can buy 10 bars of soap. I don't know, what's a bar of soap cost anymore?
Couple of bucks, if
does
that.
It, that much?
Yeah, it's gone up.
Well, I've never bought soap.
Depending on the brand.
Never bought soap before, don't know.
You from Arkansas? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I didn't mean to say that.
Yeah, I'm from Arkansas, right.
Didn't mean to offend anyone.
And then, of course, I already talked about the human hair. That will last a few weeks, and it's also free, easy to use. So, yeah. Like your hair, if I was to give you a haircut, it would put your haircut in a little nylon sack there.
Sack there and hang it up.
And, yeah, and they don't like it because your human scent is on that.
There's a lot of soap on that.
Yeah, I'm sure there is. We could soap it up and put two bars of soap in there and the hair and some Tabasco.
Be good to go.
Yeah, we're good to go. Leave us alone. And then that one, and this is the one I have a hard time with, but it was mixing garlic and rotten eggs together, and it really smells badly, but it smells bad to humans as well.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's hard to work in the garden when you got sacks of that stuff laying
rotten
around.
Rotten eggs would be enough.
Yeah, and it lasts a few weeks, and it's also free, and it smells really bad, so boom, that's what spooks the deer out of there. Ugh. And then the other thing is, a couple things here, fabric softener. I don't know why. There was no explanation, but it was on the list. Mothballs, I've heard that before.
Oh, they stink.
Yeah, and I've even tried them. And I think if you crush them a little bit and make them a little bit powdery, it's even worse. Creosote, blood meal, hot pepper spray, soap spray, and my favorite one, a mini robot that moves around.
With the eyeballs.
With the eyeballs and lights up and yells. I mean, I think that would score big in the garden shops, but I'm not sure.
I'd like to see one of those.
I would. I see it in my head, but I can't invent it. I'm not good at that.
Like the Jetsons robot.
Yeah, you know.
What was her name? Roby or whatever, I don't remember her name.
I thought it was Myla or Marla or
something like that. Yeah, I don't know. That was too long ago.
That was a long time ago. That was when
Rosie, I think that's what it was.
Rosie the robot?
I think so. I don't know. Somebody will call in.
Yeah,
maybe.
I'm sure. Call in and let us know. You know. And then you got the automatic motion sprinklers and floodlight thing. I think that's very effective because it doesn't take a lot of energy, and there's a few bucks to set it all up, but it's gonna take care of spooking the deer out or any other critter that wanders into your garden. So let's say you don't have a fence. You just got it out there in the yard, and boom, there the lights come on, the water comes on, whatever's there is history.
A human
would run from that.
Yeah.
And then there's noisemakers. Now, under
the clicking of a gun.
Yeah. Under noisemakers, they talked about firecrackers. And I thought, well, how in the world do you set up a firecracker, a string of firecrackers, and it didn't explain it, but it just listed it.
Maybe it's a recording.
Yeah, could be.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's good. They did not mention a recording. Mm. Hey, very good. I'm going to put that on my list. But they do have radios on their list.
Do they?
Yeah, turned on with the sound.
With a hip-hop station?
Well, yeah, yeah.
That'd scare anybody.
I think so. But the deer don't like it.
No.
They don't like it, man. No way. Yeah, and then here's one. I think this one's probably a little spendy. It's a propane cannon. You know,
cannon.
There's a cannon.
Yeah.
And it works on propane. And I guess that every once in a while this goes boom, like in the vineyards.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, can you imagine living in Newcrest
with
a couple of propane cannons in your backyard and they go off? Oh, every, 20 minutes.
2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. I'm sure your neighbors would enjoy you very well. But I think that's more for the rural property, excuse me.
Out in Melrose, so to speak.
Way out in Melrose, way out by the Callahan.
Yeah.
Then deer whistles. I don't know what the heck a deer whistle is, but it was on the list.
Huh.
And it must be a high-pitched kind of thing that freaks them out.
It's like a dog whistle you can't hear.
Yeah, right. Maybe that's how it is.
Wow.
And, of course, I already mentioned the monofilament fish line. That works real good. Then they had electrical fencing, but that's kind of spendy, but it works. You know, they touch it once, that's all they need. And, and then I think they communicate that to the rest of their family.
I mean, they can actually communicate.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, well, yeah, they communicate. and then an eight-foot deer fence always works. There's a capital outlay there of a few hundred bucks, but it works.
Works.
And it's good for 30 years at least. So you get 30 gardens.
Cool.
And my last one on the list is a dog, a good dog, a dog that would like to bark a lot and scare the snot out of these things. And so when you're when you're serious about keeping deer from eating your landscape, you may have to use several of these methods in conjunction that I've just outlined. You might have to have a
combination.
One of those cannons and an automatic sprinkler floodlight situation. I mean, the neighbors would run you out of there. But several of these are better than just one, because one, you have one and it works.
They get used to it.
It works. And yeah, exactly. It works. Or they get used to it and you go away for a weekend and you found out that the electricity went off.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Or some kid came in there and yanked it all out while you were gone.
Gone, yeah.
You
know?
And and all the methods, and all the methods that I've outlined here, you like I say, you use several of them, and the tactics don't let the deer get used to any of them, and that's the thing. You don't want them to, oh yeah, that's the fake dog barking, and they just walk in and eat your tomatoes, you know, something like that.
That way they're smart,
right? And remember, you can't shoot them.
No,
you can't poison them. They'll
legally.
Yeah, they'll frown on that for sure. And you'll have a neighbor that won't like that either.
Do
I have a break?
Yeah, we have a break. Okay, you know the routine. We'll be right back.
Yep, and you can call.
And the number?
673-4464.
There you go.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, we are back with more of Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show. We're talking about deer repelling or repellent methods.
Yeah, methods to repel, yes.
There you go.
So if you have any questions about that, go ahead and try to stump me and call me in and ask it. 673-4464.
Or maybe you have an idea of your own.
Yeah, if you got a good, better idea than I haven't mentioned, I mean, there's a ton of ideas out there. And if you got something that works at your place, hey, share it with us. Share it with the audience. And,
besides your 30-30.
Yeah, I mean, only do that in season.
Yeah.
But, you know, deer are creatures of habit in a lot of ways. And once you build a device, a fence, or have some of these items in your garden or in your landscape to scare them away, after a while, they have a tendency to go away where the living is easier, you know, like your neighbor two houses down the street or something like that doesn't have any of this stuff, and he plants all these beautiful flowers out there, has no fence or a very low fence, so they just jump over at 2 in the morning and eat all they want and jump back out and go to the next house up the road. But if you have a device that works or a method that works, you know, call in, tell me what it is, not only today, but any day that you're listening to the show. Go ahead and give us a shout. And the same goes with, you know, I try to come up with different subjects every week. You know,
this was a good one. I like this one.
Well, there's much more to this, too. I just kind of gave you the basic outline. I mean, there's a lot of other things that you can talk about, and way to mix these different hot pepper sauces and things like that that you can spray around your garden, because they get a whiff of that and they're toast,
they won't
eat anything. they won't even go back out and eat poison oak, for crying out loud, you know. But
I love it.
Yeah. And if you have any ideas like that, you don't always feel free to to give us a call and tell us what you've done and how you've done it and does it work? Great. That's what we want to know. We want something that's good and that works.
We have a phone call.
We got a phone call. Okay.
We got a phone call. Good afternoon. You're on the air with Mike.
Yes, Mike. I'm not trying to be indelicate. Just a minute. I got to turn my radio off.
Thank you.
Okay. I had a couple of neighbors that would go out and urinate on alongside their house. Tease the deer away.
Yes.
You heard of that?
Oh yes, yeah. I didn't want to mention it on the air because I didn't know how people would take it. But yeah, dog urine, cat urine, raccoon urine, any of that will also keep them away. They don't like it.
They keep me away.
Yeah.
Okay, because my neighbor, he was kind of cheap, and he just go out at night and just urinate all along the side. And my husband saw him first, and then I saw him, and I said, oh, that's kind of strange, isn't it?
But he had no deer problems, right?
No, he did not. Maybe he had bladder problems. I don't know. But anyway.
Sure he did.
Oh, that's good.
Anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in because you didn't.
So. Well, I had thought of it, and I declined to mention it.
Mm. Well, I'm always like that. I'll always mention anything no matter what. So. Okay, well, thanks for your information, though.
Oh, thank you for your call. That's
yes,
great.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
And it's free, I would think.
It's what?
Free.
Oh, well, in a manner of speaking, yes.
Yes, yeah.
Free. Oh, gosh. Well, but like any of the home remedies, like the last lady that just called, you have any home remedies that you'd like to share with us? We're wide open. Nothing. Well, I won't say nothing, but most everything is okay to say. Yeah. But
she was very delicate.
Oh, I know. I know. Cool. It was great. It was great.
Yeah,
great call.
Nothing wrong.
Had it been more graphic, we had to cut her off. I hope everybody's enjoying the show because I am. So we're about done, aren't we?
We are. One, two, bingo.
Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.
And once again, where are you located? In Winston, Mike.
South of Winston, Highway 99, big green roofs everywhere. We're just a wonderful nursery. You love us, and you love everybody that waits on you.
All righty. We'll see you next week.